You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Henat Baba. Now we turn to Solano State Prison in Vacaville. KALW works with incarcerated men there. They record and edit interviews with each other for the series Uncuffed.
This is Uncuffed.
Stories from Solano State Prison.
Pelican Bay Prison sits far up the coast of California, almost at the Oregon border. It's a super maximum security prison. Many of the inmates are kept in isolation in windowless cells, away from everyone except for a few other prisoners in their pod of cells. Michael Durow survived that way for close to three decades. He spoke with Uncuffed producer Brian Mazza.
Michael Durow was sent away for life in 1985 on a murder conviction. He was immediately initiated into brutal prison violence. Michael allegedly became a member of the Black Guerrilla Family, or BGF, which is part of an ongoing race war. Soon after, prison officials sent him to a security housing unit at Pelican Bay State Prison, an area of isolated confinement known as the SHU. I wanted to start at Pelican Bay, okay. And I wanted to get a description and, you know, an emotional snippet of what you were going through when you first pulled up to Pelican Bay State Prison.
Okay. When we first arrived there, you know, we went to the very back of the prison. You noticed that when you went inside the building, it was like this downward spiral. We got through a gate, and it was just this darkened corridor. We went to D10. That was the first building I was in.
Right.
And the first thing I said to myself when I seen the cell was, this cell is really big, and this is the kind of cell that they put you in when they plan on keeping you for a really long time. It was six pods, eight cells in each pod, four cells on the top, four cells on the bottom, a shower on the top and bottom tier. And when I walked inside the cell, I seen the bunk beds, the ledge off to the left, the toilet, and the sink. That particular experience starting when I got off the bus. I mean, from the minute you stepped in the building, you literally felt that you was kind of like on this other planet.
How did they have it set up to where you really couldn't communicate? Is that true?
Speaking to somebody in another pod, even if it was just how you doing, that was considered to be gang activity.
It was a legend that they would open several doors at one time just to instigate some sort of drama.
No, absolutely. It was fights regularly, routinely for the first maybe 5 years that the prison was open. You had to be woke. We used to wake up between 3 and maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, exercise, take a bird bath in the cell because the doors were coming open on a really regular basis, more than one door. And so it was common for doors to come open and for guys to be out there on the tier fighting each other. There were shootings. And every day you went out to the yard, if you took a deep breath, you could smell gunfire in there. You could actually smell residue from gunpowder in there. I mean, people was actually getting killed. It was pretty fascinating to me how I would literally get up out the bed knowing that when I go out there to the yard, I'll get into a fight. I got shot a couple of times with the black guns down
there.
Like, you know, it's kind of like, what is it about us? You know, we didn't have to go out there to the yard. We didn't have to fight each other. We didn't have to be used as targets. And I get like ego, personality, this thing about manhood. You know, I saw how when you actually start believing what it is that people say about you, you have your moments where you literally think that no one cares anything about you. You even start to think based on that, well, if no one else cares about me, why should I care about myself?
You were an alleged member of BGF.
Yes.
And you mentioned something about as long as they, if somebody tells you you're something for long enough, you start believing it to be true.
Yes.
So tell me, you're at that point in your life, and there's really nothing I can see that would help lead you out of that thought pattern. How did you make it out of there?
Well, you don't never do it by yourself. I had a real solid support base with my parents before they passed away. It was my mother and father, my sister in particular, that wrote to me consistently, who would keep in touch. They're the ones, though, that made it really possible, I think, for me to stay connected to the streets and stuff.
Keep you grounded somewhat, even though you're in like a nether world that isn't even, it was your one little glimmer of reality that you've seen in that maze of cement down there. Something that amazes me, but I wanted to know what it was specifically that turns you from being this individual that was getting in trouble and getting into these fights and all this stuff to just get on this course where you're at right now today.
I've always felt that hate was a wasted emotion. And if I don't have to concern myself with it, I won't. I've actually seen it destroy people. It was also these other things that was happening around me as well. I mean, I was housed in the pod with people who, you know, we had been at odds with each other for 40 or 50 years.
And were these people?
Someone was Mexicans from the Southern California area. Someone was whites. And I got a chance to know these people outside of the traditional relationship that we had.
The adversarial relationship
that everybody had with each other and stuff. When you get to know people, the nature of the relationship that you have with people, it just has to change. We became a community. I mean, we started looking out for each other. There was no such thing as you receiving a package from your family on the streets and you eating by yourself. Everybody in that pod ate with you. So Pelican Bay SHU for me was an extraordinarily humbling experience. It was really humbling for me.
That was Michael Durow. He is sentenced to life without the possibility of parole and maintains his innocence. He spoke with Brian Mazza, a producer in KLW's radio class at Solano State Prison. The program is supported by the California Arts Council and the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. The producers fact-check content to the best of their ability, and all content is approved by an information officer. You can listen to more stories from Uncuffed at our website, klw.org/uncuffed. And don't forget to subscribe to the Cross Currents newsletter. Get all our stories and interviews every week in your email.